I asked Brother Allen, if you look at this newsletter, the article he wrote, I said, would you preach on that? He said, I can only preach on what's on my mind. I said, okay. He said, why don't you come and preach on it? I'm not going to do that, but I'm going to share his article with you because I just think it's extraordinary good. It is about forgiveness. We don't teach that enough. Fact of the matter, many of us have, I'm certainly one and you are too, that we've had circumstances dealing with the church that we've had to just suffer. When I left Arlington, Texas, they had done something so egregious in my mind that I resigned on the spot, came home and wrote a long letter detailing it. And when I need to, I'm a pretty good writer. I spell it out in spades. But I knew that it should be looked at by others before just throwing it out there in the wind. So I think I've heard with you, and I called Brother Hilton Crane in, I guess he's in Euless or Fort Worth, and he read the letter and had a telephone call. Brother Hilton Crane and I have had one argument over 40 years. It wasn't even an argument, it was just a disagreement. And I said, you go your way and I'll go mine on this matter. Don't need to go into what that was. But he's been a counselor, a mentor for so many years to me. He's now 97, 98 years old in a nursing home down in Euless. But he told me this and gave me great advice. I didn't like it at the time, but he said, my advice to you is to suffer it. Just leave it alone and let the Lord take action. I did, and the Lord did. But that was hard to take. To sit back and know that these people had acted against scriptural authority, difficult for me to take, but I just simply, in my mind, forgave them and went on about it. But I'll tell you, I've had circumstances that I have had to deal with, forgive, and then forget over a period of 2 or 3 years. I'd like to point out to you some things in this article. But I want to first go to a couple of scriptures. The 6th chapter of Galatians tells us that verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And the last verse, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. That's a powerful statement, Apostle Paul. I also want to read to you from the 3rd chapter of Ephesians. I think the 3rd chapter of Ephesians is as much on the point as where anywhere in the scriptures. But I'll go back to the article for just a minute. Note that he talks about forgiveness as it is, and that Christ forgives us endlessly. And so we are to forgive our brethren endlessly. And if this is followed, there have been a lot fewer splits in churches over the years, because usually a split occurs when there is an argument between one or two men that seem to be unable to forgive each other. Notice that one very important aspect of Brother Allen's article is forgiveness is not forgetting. if you don't take anything else from today, that is a statement that needs to be blazoned in our minds, that those are two different acts. Forgiveness is not an emotion. So many people say, I've tried to forgive, and I've tried to forgive, and I just can't forgive. Yeah, you can. You refuse to. Because it isn't an emotional matter. You refuse, and then you treat your brethren like it is forgotten. Although it may take you a good deal of time, he points out, sometimes years, as with me, to forget. But forgiving is an act demanded by Christ. And that's why I think this article is so important. He mentions that when God said he would remember our sins no more, doesn't mean that he will erase his memory. Rather, it means that he will love and save his people in spite of their sins. That's where you are, my friend. You don't deserve what God has given you. He points to the third chapter of Colossians at one point. I want to go to that chapter as I end my comments. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection above, on things above, not on things of the earth. That's a powerful statement, a commandment, not a choice God gives us, but a commandment that he makes upon us. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Here he says we need to understand that we are dead to material things. And if you devote your life to material things, you'll find out that you're dead to them. In the finality of things, you'll find that they will defeat you. And that you'll look back and saying, I wish I had done otherwise. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. I don't want to take away from this chapter, but I want to go down where Brother Allen mentions. He mentions 3 and 8, but now ye also put off these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. I was always amazed at this statement. Lie not one to another. I just couldn't imagine people in the church lying to each other. But would it be in the Bible if it didn't occur? And if it does happen, if you're involved in that, the commandment is lie not one to another. Seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of God. Wherefore, he says, 12th verse, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. And the verse that we need to remember forever, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against him, even as Christ forgave you, which is endless, so also do ye. I hope that you'll take this. Very few times I will come up and say, there's an article in here that you need to take home and read over and over. Maybe pin it on your refrigerator. Mark it up, because Brother Allen has faithfully dealt with the subject. It is a dynamic subject, one that if you profess to be a disciple, a child of Christ, you're mistaken in making such demands if you have not obeyed God in this matter. So I'll leave that with you. God bless.
I appreciate Brother Bill's comments and the thoughts that he brought back to our minds about this subject. I wrote that article a long time ago, and I think he goes up things that's on his mind and says, oh yeah. But when he does that, I believe he is being directed by the Holy Spirit. Brother Bill has put forth that newsletter for many years, and sometimes I think maybe we find them all over the place, on the benches and in first place and another. But I hope that you appreciate the efforts that the dear brother has put forth to make these articles and these things available to us. And I, for one, you said, this is all you see, this is all that's left. Well, the Lord saved the best for the last, you know. I mean, we got the pure wine now. It's a blessing for me to be able to have had the fellowship, the love, the mentoring, the chastisements, the encouragements. I wish I'd had a nickel mile Bill and I rode together. We could both go on a cruise. But we're thankful this morning for the wonderful privilege of being able to talk to you. You know, when it talks about forgiveness, it always bothered me. What in Ephesians, it talks, I don't know, Brother Bill may have stirred me up on this. But in Ephesians, it says that Christ has forgiven us. Now notice, I want to read, this is all eternal stuff here. Okay? It says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. All of these things that we're talking about here, that's taken place before we ever had an existence. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I cannot imagine being able to stand before the righteous God of heaven and be without blame. Without blame. That means no blot upon you. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, that simply means that God has arranged it, and he, before the foundation of the world, he chose us in Christ, and he predestinated us to be adopted into his family. Now that's wonderful, isn't it? To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he, God the Father, hath made us accepted in the Beloved. We were made accepted in the Beloved before the foundation of the world. Can you grab that? All right, now then, this is the part I want. In whom, Christ Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. It says that we have forgiveness of sins eternally. What does that mean? And I thought, and Brother Bill and I have discussed this. I said, if Christ redeemed us from our sins and we have forgiveness of our sins, then why do we have to ask forgiveness for sins? I mean, it says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, but I don't have any sins. How can I confess that which I don't have? Christ put away my sins. And that's what the word forgiveness means. It means to put it behind your back. Put it back here. When God said, a new covenant I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, he said, I will write my laws in their hearts and in their minds. I shall be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And he says, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now, this is the point Brother Bill was making in the article. Do you think that God has forgotten anything? You mean it? I mean, he knows the end from the beginning, from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. Has he forgotten anything that has ever happened in the world? It says he stood over here at the end, and he declared from the beginning, from the end. So has he ever forgotten anything? Let me ask you this question: has he ever learned anything?
Has God ever learned anything? So my point here is this. God did not, like I said in the article, God didn't erase his memory of our sins. He just doesn't bring them up anymore. And that's the point. They're gone. And he says he separated us from our sins as far as the east is from the west. If we don't have any sins, then how can he charge us with them? Well, you see, we are still in these earthly tabernacles. We still have these bodies our bodies and our nature still love sin. We're sinning machines, Brother Bill. We literally are sinning machines. Like Brother Bill said one time, he said, these sharks, they're eating machines. Well, we are sinning machines. We cannot cease from this. As long as we're in this tabernacle, we're going to have the need to pray to God for forgiveness of our sins. And that's why when we go to the model prayer, I mean, John the Baptist taught his disciples, and his disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray as John taught his disciples. And he gave the model prayer, and part of that model prayer, and it says, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. And you know the rest of the prayer. But the point here is this. Are you willing to pray that prayer this morning? Father, I want you to forgive me just exactly like I forgave my brother. Be careful. But that's the prayer. Father, forgive me as I forgive my brother. And Father, I want my will to be your will. He said, as thy will as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We love to pray them kind of prayers, don't we? But do we like to pray the prayer, Father, I want you to forgive me just like I have forgiven my brother. And the point down there in the last part of that, he says, now, if you don't forgive your brother his trespass, I'm not going to forgive you. Now, how would you like for God to treat us like we treat our brother? Would that be nice? If I am offended in the article that I wrote, there is no outs. There is no way that you can say, well, that was not my fault. That was his fault. But it says there in Matthew 5, if you come to your altar, your prayer, you're praying your prayer before God, and you say, I forgot my brother has ought against me. He says, leave your gift at the altar, right there. Get up from the altar and go and make it right with your brother. And then come back and offer your gift. Why is that important? Because you're praying to the God of eternal glory, and if you have ought against your brother or vice versa, your prayer is hindered. Your prayers are hindered. Why is this so important? Why is this so upon Brother Bill's mind? Because he has lived through a lifetime of history where that this very thing, if we had put this principle into effect in our churches and in our homes and our nations, we wouldn't need any army. You see, we wouldn't need, and this church here, Sister Fern was separated 50 years because people refused to forgive one another, and there was no doctrinal issues whatsoever in among us. It was because people just, I'm right and you're wrong, and I will forgive you if you'll tell me, if you'll confess you're wrong, and so forth, and it just back and forth, and they totally disregard the scripture. Totally disregarded. Now, if we had done that very thing, that one thing, as he read in Colossians, if we would forgive one another as Jesus has forgiven us, then we go to Matthew 18, which I didn't deal with too much in there. But there in Matthew 18, there is a series of it's really a progression of how we're to handle these principles. But I want to turn there, Brother Bill. I guess you've got me on this. Matthew 18 is very important, but I want us to understand that Matthew 18 does not deal with public offenses. Do you hear me? It deals with private offenses. Listen as we read that, if I can find it. Verse 15, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. You know what we most of the time we do? Brother Tom over here may offend me, and he says something awful to me, and I am just as angry about that as I can, and I go over here, and I tell Brother Bill Kemper what he did. And you see, when I do that, When you have offended me and I don't go to you and I go to this brother back there, then I have become the offender. I have become the offender. But if he will not hear thee, take it with thee one or two more in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Let every word be established. You know, if we go to the first, usually, if two brothers, if they're really loving the Lord and they really believe this Bible, we won't ever get past step one. If I can sincerely and if I humbly and I really want to gain my brother, and that's the whole purpose of this process, is to gain your brother, to gain him. You've lost him because of an offense. You go to him and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he said, here we are, two of us together, Brother Bill, we're both together here, and we both think we're right. No, it was not me, it was you. Okay, we can't agree. Let me point out, we are brothers. Brothers. Okay, we can't agree. Okay, so we're going to... Now, Brother Tom will say, okay, I'll get my witness. So he'll go get his witness, the one that he's told the story to already, you understand. And I go get my witness, and I've told over... And now then what we have here is a feud. We're to get impartial witnesses. Not somebody that agrees with me and somebody that agrees with him, but we're to get these witnesses. It says, whosoever shall... Can't keep my place. If he will not hear thee, take with thee one, two, or more witnesses, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word be established. All right, now we have moved to the next step. Okay? Step one is over. It's now between more than Brother Tom and I. We now have two or three more that we have told this story to. These brethren that you have brought in here are now the jury. They're the jury. And whatever they decide, that's it. You say, well, I don't agree with their witnesses. And it says, and if this one that's been offended, he refuses to accept the decision of these witnesses. That's probably me. If he will neglect to hear them, all right, we're on step three. If we go to the witnesses and they say, I agree with Brother Tom, but I am still grieved. And I said, oh, that's not right. I'm not going to listen to you. Who are you? I know what happened. You've told the story. You've heard the evidence. We make the decision that, Brother Allen, this is over. You were in the fault. And now then, you need to ask his forgiveness and go on. Okay? If we can get there, Brother Tom, we don't have to take it to the church. All right, now when we have gone to the brother by ourselves, still not settled, Now then we've got our witnesses, and we've told our story to these witnesses. And I still hard-headedly won't listen. So now then we're going to the church. It should never get here. Do you understand me, brothers and sisters? It should never get to number three. This issue should never get to the church. And when we bring it into the church, there's going to involve all these families. Now we have a family feud in the church. I've seen this, brothers and sisters, it split a church wide open. The church is no longer in existence because we had a family feud in the church. You see, we got the West and we got the Newmans and we got all these other people in here. And I can't side against him. I've got to exonerate Tom because and this is the way it goes. Blood is thicker than water. You may not believe. And when we get in the flesh both ways, but if we bring it to the church has now become the judgmental body. And we're going to tell it. And we need to. Oh, how awful this gets. I would hate to have to bring something like this up in the church, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Or would you like to have a feud in the church? You see, we had one 50 years and it kept us separated. Peace. Never take for granted peace. And if he shall neglect to hear them, the witnesses, take it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen and a publican. All right, now then, if we can bring it to the church and we can do these things according to the scriptures, I have gone to Brother Tom. And we couldn't settle it. I took my witness. I mean, he got his witnesses, and I don't know. I hope that these witnesses, if this is boring to you, I'm sorry. But when you hear the witnesses and you don't listen to the witnesses, then you take it to the next step and the next step. Now then, what's happened to me? I am an enemy to the church. I am out. I am as a heathen man and a publican. Now, I hope that this scenario has gotten to you in your mind to see how awful it is and why it's so important that we never let it get to step three. You see, it's a private thing. Now, there are public offenses. There are offenses that come to the church. There's things that if it becomes a public thing and it's something that is like a man may be a drunkard or an adulterer or whatever it is, as long as it's not in the open, we can still take care of it. But once it becomes a public offense, then it needs to be dealt with in the church. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about private, individual things, where we are instructed to forgive one another as Christ forgave us. Now, that is a big, big subject. But when we think about this, now, this is the hard thing. This is the hard thing, Brother Tom. And Peter come to the Lord. And Peter was, Brother Randy said, you're kind of like Peter.
Well, I probably am. Put my foot in my mouth all the time.
But Peter came to the Lord and he says, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? How many times? Seven? Seven times? Brother Mark, if I did something to you seven times in a row, about that seventh time you probably wouldn't want to be even looking at me. But I'm telling you what the Lord said. I'm telling you the importance of how important this subject is. How many times do I have to forgive Tom? Seven times? I say not unto thee seven times, but until 70 times seven. In a day, that's 490 times in a day. Now I ask you, how much did the Lord forgive us? Did he forgive us 490 times? He forgave us that we were 10,000 talents in debt and not a farthing to pay. But he forgave us all of our sins. And if we would just learn this lesson and understand that when the Lord says forgive, that's not a suggestion. It is a commandment, and it has absolutely nothing to do with whether or not you can remember it tomorrow. I had this experience in the church that's no more with a lady that she says, well, I have been offended so many times, and the things that was said and done to me was so grievous. I know what the Bible says, but I just cannot do it. You know what I said? I said, you're right. You can't do it. But I'm telling you, through the grace of Almighty God, you can obey what the Bible says. If you can forget it, forgetting is not forgiving. And that's what the point Brother Bill was making. It's so important we understand this, that forgiveness is a commandment of Jesus Christ. Forgive him. Now he says, if he come to you and he repent seven times in a day or whatever, what am I supposed to do? Forgive him. How hard is that? I know what Brother Bill's talking about. I know the man that offended him. And you think that every time that the man that offended Brother Bill was somebody that he was very acquainted with, and he saw him a lot. Now you think about if that he comes and he sees, what's going to be the first thing that comes into your mind? What he did. But Brother Bill, if you will put that out and say, oh, so good to see you. God bless you. I am so happy today to see you again. And just keep doing that and doing that. You say, well, that's hypocritical. No, it's not. It's obeying God. After a while, you'll be able to fellowship that person without remembering the offense. But the point here is this. If you say, Brother Mark, I forgive you, but then we have another falling out, and I bring that old offense back up, I've lied. I didn't forgive you. That's what we do in our marriages. Oh, you remember that? You bring all these different things up in your marriage. Well, what about that? And what about that? And what about this? I thought you forgave me. Well, I did, but now then you... No, you didn't. And when he began to reckon, now, 7 times 70, that's 7 times 70, 490 times in a day. When you think about those verses and how important it is to our personal life, our personal fellowship with Jesus. If you do not forgive your brother, I will not forgive you. I don't know how Jesus could have got that any plainer. You say, well, does that mean I'm going to not be his child anymore? No. Doesn't have anything to do with your eternal life, but it has a lot to do with your fellowship with him while you walk in this world. Do you want fellowship restored? The same way that we have fellowship restored to our brethren is what we have, the same way that we have to have it restored with the Lord. It said, if any man, if you confess your sins, Brother Tom, if I have something against you, I don't need to tell Brother, this brother back here, but I need to go to you personally, just me and you. And I believe we could probably work it out. Maybe. He said, you know, this guy here, I use him as an example because we love one another. He said, he come up to me and said, I got a bone to pick with you. I said, all right, brother, get to picking.
We don't always agree on everything, but we sure never have had a falling out that we couldn't fix. You see, love will cover a multitude of sins. That's why Jesus forgave us, is because he loved us so much. He put our sins away. And brethren, when we say, I forgive you, that sin's gone.
It better not be brought back up again. It's behind our back. That's what it means to put away, to forgive. It means to put it back here so I can't see it anymore. You say, well, I won't never forget that. You know, people say, well, I don't get mad. I get even.
You see, that's the way of the world. That's not the way Christians treat one another. The Christians treat one another as the golden rule. He said, I want you to treat my brother, do unto you, I want to do unto you as I would want you to do to me. Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. You say, would you like somebody to treat you like you treat them? Well, no. Well, then treat them the same way you want to be treated, and then maybe it'll all start love. We'll all these problems. You know, I can talk about this. We can talk about this now because we're not in a big fuss. We don't wait. The best time to talk about this is when we're in love with one another and not having problems, because we can go. And when things come up, you see, we are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we love one another. We're family. Therefore, when somebody does something, Brother Bear, say, I love you. Forgive me. We've had some issues, haven't we? But we love each other. We see this brother right back here. We had fallen out one time. He just unfriended me. Didn't you? But you know what I did? I went back to Brother Bear and I said, now I don't mind. I don't think he'll mind me telling this. I said, Brother Bear, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean that. He said, okay, brother, I'll forgive you. And he put me back on his friend list, and so everything's cool. But you see how things work when it's going. When love goes back and forth, it gets things fixed. But when we have trouble, it's when we refuse to hear what Jesus says.